This is the Marlena program for the week of February 13th, 2006. Hi, I'm Marlena, and you're listening to the Marlena program, heard weekly at this time on ACB Radio Mainstream. For the next 2 hours, give or take, we'll be taking your phone calls at 866-666-7926. Love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your ideas, your suggestions, your opinions, whatever. Why don't you come on in, get comfy, spend some time with me, and give me a call, huh? Right here on Marlena. Well, hello, hello, hello. Happy Valentine's Day. Maybe I could be one of the first to wish you a happy, happy Valentine's Day. I'm Marlena. It's great to be back with everyone again. And as we always like to say here in the beginning of the program, if you're listening to the show at any time other than, now let's see if I can get them all right, 8 to 9 Eastern, 5 to 6 Pacific, or 1 to 2 Universal on a North American Sunday night or UTC Monday morning, then it's a repeat. And if you're listening during that time, then we look forward to inviting you into the living room and having you give us a call and tell us what's going on with you. And if you're listening at any other time, put your feet up and get comfy. And hope you enjoy the program. Speaking of enjoying the program, boy, we've got a fascinating program on for tonight. Not only are we going to talk about the ACB Radio Cafe and what that's all about, but we're going to meet and get to know the proprietress. How do you like that? Of the ACB Radio Cafe, and someone who actually is a very dear friend of mine, and I think I'm going to bring her in right now. Chrissy Cochran, welcome to Marlena.
Marlena, thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you. How's everything over in jolly old England?
It's a bit cold, but it's at least not raining, and it's fine.
And it's late, too, isn't it?
It's getting a bit late, yes. It's just gone 1 o'clock over here, but hey, never mind.
That's the sign of a dedicated proprietress.
Or is it proprietrix?
I don't know, we have to be careful there.
Yes.
Well, I would like to welcome you. Now, this isn't the first time you and I have done a show together. We did a blind spot together. Actually, we've done
indeed.
Two blind spots. We've done two together.
Back have we done two? I remember
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we did
I
one.
I probably wasn't around for the second one.
Well, I hope so. It was a call-in. But it was quite some time ago, and I know that we've had many new listeners join the ACB Radio family since then, and I just love knowing you so much that I thought everyone else should know you as well. So that's part of what I want to accomplish here tonight. But before we get into chatting about your... what I just think is a fabulously interesting story. Let's talk a bit about the cafe. What is the ACB Radio Cafe? If I've never been there, what will I see when I go there?
More a question of what you will hear when you go there. It's a stream that ACB Radio run, and it plays nothing but the work of, at the moment, primarily blind musicians. Now, I say that because I'm trying to widen it to blind artists, be they short story writers, be they poets or whatever. It runs 24/7, and it's an automated stream, so you can't send in requests. I'm working on that one, though. I'm thinking about that. But it's an automated stream, runs 24/7 in good quality stereo, good bandwidth, and tomorrow I'm just about to upload about 4 or 5 poems, which is a great innovation to the cafe. I'm really pleased. We've already got one short story up there as well, plus a whole host of music.
Well, that's fascinating. So What if I'm not a professional musician and I've, you know, I've got some sort of karaoke backing track to me?
It's no problem. I am, however, being a little tough on people in that I see the cafe as a showcase of blind musicians to the world. Now, what we don't want and what I will not do is have people on the cafe simply because they are blind. They may be awful musicians, but simply because they're blind. So there is, I like to think, a certain standard both in audio quality and in musicianship. But yeah, hey, use karaoke backing. It's no problem. If you're a good singer, that's absolutely great.
And if someone wants to submit something to the cafe, what are they, how do they do that?
Oh, well, there are several ways you can do that. The simplest way, actually, is probably if it's under 5 megs, if you've got one song, you can email it to me direct at Chrissy, C-H-R-I-S-S-I-E, at rose, that's it, as in the flower rose, R-O-S-E, demon.co.uk. Because I'm not sure the ACB radio thing, email system will actually take attachment, so it's easier to send it to me direct. Failing that, you can send a CD to me. Or another simple way is just write to Chrissy at acbradio.org and ask for details, and I can send you details of how you can send it in numerous ways and upload to the server and all sorts of wonderful things.
Yes, numerous. I actually have a CD that I need to get to you from my good friend and very talented guy, Jason Castonguay. He actually made, what do you call it? He was up to number 2 on American Idol.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah. So he sent me his CD just after I came back from my cruise, and so I promised him that I would rip it.
I want it.
Yes. You do.
Well, the cafe wants it anyway. Certainly.
He's very, very good. Very.
Hey, that's great.
Now, what is this across the cafe table?
Across the cafe table. Well, I thought we've got a bunch of blind musicians up there playing their music, but what about hearing a little bit about the musicians themselves? So Across the Cafe Table is basically a monthly interview program I do where I grab some poor musician and say, oh, you want to come on my program? And they come peacefully, like lambs to the slaughter, and they get grilled about their life, their universe, and everything. And we play some of their music, we talk about their music, how it was made, little anecdotes they might have, supposing they're gigging musicians or whatever, and generally have fun. It runs anything between an hour and 2 hours. I've got a nice amount of slack there, so if it's someone with buckets to say, they can rabbit as much as they like. If it's someone that doesn't, you know, hasn't got a lot, and is just, say, a musician at home or whatever, then, hey, it's a shorter program, but they're all good.
Do you use Skype and technology like that to do your interviews?
I do. If I can use Skype, I will, simply because the quality these days is good enough for it to give the impression that you're both in the same room. I can actually move the stereo image so I can have the protagonist on the right center, let's say, and me on left center, and things like that. And it's nice to be able to do that in Skype. But failing that, I use the dear old dog and bone, the old telephone.
The twisted pair.
That's it, the twisted pair. The 75 ohm cord. No, it's not. It's not.
No.
I don't know. 400, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know. Gary will tell us. He knows these things. He knows these things. Well, speaking of blind musicians, you are one.
Well, I play music, yes.
And I have seen from where you play your music, and it is a corner in your living room.
It is indeed.
And
it's one wall.
It's a magical corner because it makes sounds a little like this.
You are as bright as all the sunlight that's shining all around. Don't look down to the ground. when you can think of the things that you want, that you dream of. This is your chance to grab with both hands the things you've kept for years. This is no time for tears. It's time for fun and for friends and for joy and for laughter. 'Cause you are the one with your fate in your hands. You can make plans to do those very things you always wanted. You are the one with the world at your feet. Life can be sweet, and you should always do those things you dreamed of. It's all up to you, the things that you do.
That's actually one of Chrissy's newer songs that is actually one of my favorite songs. When did you write that? I've sort of faded it down here, but when did you write that one, Chrissy?
I wrote that just before last Christmas. It was my partner's birthday, and I thought, I know what, I'll write a nice positive song for it, and that was the result.
Well, you know what, and you know, I listened to that, and as I said to Chrissy earlier today in email, I think I forgot to tell her that I go around the house and I'm humming, da-da-da-dum. I mean, it's like a, it's just sort of like one of those little ubiquitous melodies that's in your head.
Well, I think if anything, if there's any criticism to it, Marlene, it is derivative. It's derivative of many a formulaic type song, but hey, you know, they work.
Well, it's a great little song, and I enjoy playing it, and the name of it is You. And it's by Chrissy Cochran. So, Chrissy Cochran, tell me a little about you.
Me?
You.
Okay.
How do you like that for a lead-in? Did I do good?
That's pretty damn good. I was born in New Zealand in 1900 and God knows when. And came over here at the ripe old age of 11. I'm one of the few people who have actually stopped off at Pitcairn Island, would you believe?
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, your music is still going on here. It won't stop. Stop! I didn't know that.
We had the Pitcairn Islanders come out to the boat to sell us calf, flying fish, and all sorts of goodies. And we came via Panama anyway, wound up in this country, and went to the blind school, Linden Lodge, which was in London. I then went on to school with a gorgeous name, and I always find it funny, of the Royal Normal College in Shrewsbury, where I learnt shorthand typing and other such sundry oddments, which were a vague benefit to me.
The Royal Normal College.
It was. It's been changed now, but it was the Royal Normal College.
Okay.
It really was. And I then service and did this, that, and the other. I then got out of that, got into music. I was doing gigs, hotels, restaurants, Masonics, corporate dues, and eventually wound up for 12 years in a restaurant residency where I actually took the trouble to learn vocals. Before that, I always used to work with a vocalist. I didn't think I was any good or too shy or whatever.
And did you play keyboard?
I played keyboards, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, after a while, when the residency broke up, I then decided to go to the other side of the fence and went to work for the Arts Council in London. That was giving money to artists and arts organizations. We fund various ones that aren't commercial. From there, I got a secondment, as we call it over here. I forget what you call it over there.
We call it a detail.
A detail, okay, yeah. To ACB Radio, and here I am.
And
but
here you
are. But other things have happened meanwhile.
Yes, I noticed that we kind of did that in a synopsized form. Yeah.
Well, we did, because other things, which I know you want to talk about, we can deal with in one go as a nice...
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So your work with ACB Radio, you are doing the cafe, and what else are you doing?
I am sort of general administrator come factotum whatever. I'm sort of sitting in for Dave Williams, who's not too well at the moment, and I do hope he gets better soon.
Oh,
so
do
Dave,
I.
Do get better.
Yes. Dave, first of all, if you're listening, what the hell are you doing up this late? And
secondly, give us a call.
Yes, and more importantly, get on the phone and call.
Wouldn't that be great? Jeff Shang and I are sort of dealing with the type of things that Dave was dealing with. And we're basically trying to keep ACB Radio going, and we're looking at possibly starting a new channel, new stream.
Oh?
Yes. Titled at the moment, a working title is ACB World, but what we hope it will be a multicultural stream where we can have, I don't know, things like the type of programming we have on Interactive, but in different languages, the type of program we have on Mainstream, but in different languages, and we're hoping that will run 24/7 as well.
Yes, and if anyone speaks another language or knows of anyone who speaks another language and would be interested in helping us with providing content, Chrissy would love to hear from you. Is that right?
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Well, there you go. There you go. And truly, you know, I say this all the time, and I feel like I'm just a broken record on the Shopping Channel or something, you know. But you don't have to have a lot of technical expertise and know-how. I mean, look at me.
And me. But it's absolutely true.
It really is true. It really is.
Yeah, I'm at the moment helping someone who's going to hopefully be one of our new broadcasters. And we really don't need a lot of technology to get going.
No. And you know, if you want to provide programming on the ACB World stream or even on the Mainstream, you know, it can be as simple as going to our place and recording what you do there and then uploading it. And don't let the word uploading scare you. We can help you.
Absolutely.
We have our ways.
And the other thing is, if you know of organizations in different countries that may like to use some of their program that they may use on their local stations, feed some of that to us as well, we would be more than welcoming. You know, sort of blind organizations in foreign countries that may have programs for the visually impaired, etc., that they could let us have. Hey, the more the merrier.
Let's give out the telephone number because the lines are open. It is 866-666-7926. My guest tonight is Chrissy Cochran, and you know Chrissy both through her work with the ACB Radio Cafe and Chrissy on Air. And we have a call. See, ask and we receive. Let's push this button and push this button. And hello, caller, you are on the radio with Chrissy and Marlena.
Hi there, it's Sue Amateur.
Hello, Sue Amateur.
Hi, Chrissy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Nice to hear you.
What are you doing up so late? Talking to Marlena.
Talking on some silly telephone to, I don't know, the world, I suppose.
Well, I don't know. At least our part of the world.
Yeah. It's pretty late. Yeah. But hey, it's good fun.
Yeah, I beat her and said she had to do it.
I have a question and then maybe a comment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably somewhere so obvious that I'm just missing it. Is there somewhere where the actual schedule for Mainstream and Treasure Trove are listed?
Treasure Trove, that is not so easy. We don't have a schedule for that, basically because, to the best of my knowledge, it's semi-automated. I could well be corrected on that one. But we don't deal with the uploading of the stuff to that. So at the moment, we don't have a schedule for that. There should be a schedule for Mainstream now. How exactly well dated that is, I'm honestly not sure. But that should be on the main, get attable from the main ACB Radio webpage. It really should.
And then one thought that I have, if we could find someone to do it, would be if we could, even an hour a week or an hour a month, do some kind of show in Spanish. I think there, you know, we have a lot of blind people, just even in the United States, who are Spanish-speaking people, and we've tried to do more outreach from the ACB membership committee, but haven't done all that we should. But that's
well,
the
that's the sort of thing that we're hoping that the new ACB World stream will cope with, will actually do, so we can have a couple of hours in Spanish or whatever. You know, I know there's a large contingency of Latin American blind in the States. You've got the whole of the world. I mean, the idea is to make it global. So, you know, not just concentrating on the States, but really reach out to people in as many languages as we possibly can.
Right. So, well, I, as Marlena knows, I'm a big ACB radio listener. And
she's one of your biggest fans.
Yes.
Every time I do a music show, she wants to hear one particular song.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So,
what can I say?
So,
thank you.
So, Sue, don't go away. Just hang on a minute.
Okay.
That is Sue Amateur's favorite song. Favorite Chrissy song, right,
that's
Sue?
Absolutely right.
She asks me, I mean, whenever she calls, I know it's either going to, she wants that or she wants a Roberta Flack song. But you beat Roberta out quite frequently.
Hey, how about that? Hey, fame at
last. Anyway, I think ACB Radio has just been an outstanding success and great outreach tool for us, so... I know it takes a lot of volunteer effort, and one of these days I'm going to get up my nerve maybe and try to be a broadcaster, but not quite yet.
No.
Carry on.
Go ahead.
No, I just think that it's a showcase of the blind to the general public. I mean, yes, mainstream's great, don't get me wrong, and it serves a very useful purpose to the blind, but I also see ACB Radio as showing what we are capable of doing to the rest of the world. As I say in my spiel on the cafe when I send it out to people, you never know, a passing record producer may actually take the trouble to listen. They stumble upon the station and listen. You just never know.
Well, and I can tell you, not totally, but almost... I listen to ACB Radio Interactive because I find AM and FM radio so annoying with all the advertising. It's like, if I wanted to hear music, I'd, you know. But we have a lot of good DJs.
Well, I think it will get better. As soon as we can break this barrier of having to be too near the computer to listen to the radio, as soon as they have more pieces of equipment that can move around the house and you can take the radio around or out
to
the garden or whatever and listen, then I think we're going to see a huge growth, because I agree with you. American and, to a certain degree, British radio has become so formulaic. It's all for a sort of 60 or 80 record playlist, and round it goes. Now, you know, it's niche radio is becoming much more prevalent.
And some of our DJs that we have over here, I mean, they know exactly how far they can push the envelope in terms of being kind of gross. And it's like, I'm out of junior high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
yeah,
who,
yeah.
And who wants to hear some of that?
I know, it's ridiculous. So.
I don't.
Well, I sometimes wonder what focus groups they're actually listening to.
Yeah.
To make them think that people actually want that sort of stuff.
It's hard to imagine.
It is. It's amazing. It really is.
Maybe somebody who is younger than we are will call us up and tell us.
And they're probably going to go, oh, that's just because they're old.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be. Could be.
Could be.
Well, in my case, yes.
In my case, yes.
All right. Well, I just wanted to give a quick call and keep listening to the show here.
All right. Well, stay tuned.
All right.
All right.
Bye, Darren. Thanks, Marlene.
Take care.
Lindsay.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866 866-7926 to talk to Chrissy Cochran. Now, tell me a little bit about Chrissy On Air, and when is Chrissy on air, and what is Chrissy On Air Play On Air?
Chrissy On Air is basically a hodgepodge of inane, burbling chatter from me, music that I like, some that I don't, actually. I like to put in the odd thing, you know, and it goes out at 21 hours UTC on a Tuesday for 2 hours. So you haven't got too much of it, just 2 hours. But it's basically slightly smoothish music, I suppose. It does get a little raucous, but it doesn't get too out of control. And, you know, what I've been beginning to do is actually the odd little pithy comment on news items and things like that, and hoping to inject some sort of debate going, because I now have the ability to use Skype while on air, which is nice.
Oh, that's great. And speaking of Skype, which we're not using, we have a call. I love that segue. Hi there, you're with Chrissy and Marlena on the radio.
Hello, Marlena and Chrissy.
Hello, Kelly Supergia.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well indeed. And your good self?
Well, that's very good. I'm doing pretty good, too. I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the music that Marlena's been playing from you there. You're doing a really good job there.
Oh, thank you very much. I gather you play as well.
Yeah.
Yes, Kelly is quite a musician.
I know, we need more of your stuff up on the cafe, my dear. We need more of your stuff on the cafe.
Yeah, I know. I've got one song up there, I think.
That's all we've got, and we can do it more.
I'll have to give you, I'll have to get a hold of you and send you it's not my latest piece by any means. It was done a couple of years ago. A Quiet Place is the name of it. Another New Age style piece.
We could do with more of that, Kelly, quite seriously, because I am trying to expand the types of music that we have, and there are certain genres, and that's one of them that we really could do with more of.
Okay. Yeah, I'll see if I can get that up to you. You know, another thing I was sort of thinking about, too, was I have a CD that I've mostly been, you know, giving to my family and relatives and whatnot, but it's one that I did where I have the accordion and my electric bass guitar, and I'm playing all these different accordion songs, and then I recorded the bass guitar on another track, so it sounds like there's two instruments playing at once.
Right, yeah. Hey, yes, sounds good. Yes, please.
So
yeah, I'd like that too.
Okay, I'll have to see if I can get that
now, I don't want to embarrass you, Kelly, but you were supposed to send me A Quiet Place, too, some time ago, and I'm still waiting.
Really?
Yes.
You didn't get it?
Yeah, it's gone quiet.
No, I didn't get it.
Oh,
it's gone quiet. You know, are you on Skype now that you're a big, bad broadband kind of guy?
Yep.
Well,
I am.
I'm on Skype as well, and it's so much easier to Skype files. We can do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Likewise, actually.
My Skype name is really difficult to remember. It's Marlena.
Actually, I've got you signed up in my contact list, but it shows that I think you haven't authorized me yet or something.
I haven't been on Skype for a really long time. My hand is so incredibly painful that I haven't stuff.
Yeah,
with it,
I was just going to say, how's your hand doing there?
Well, it's getting surgeried on Wednesday,
What's wrong with it?
It's my thumb joint has separated.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
it's really
ow,
fun.
Ow!
and you know, you can't do anything without your thumb. Nothing in life can be done without a thumb.
Ever so well.
And so they're going to put it back together Wednesday. So it'll be quite nasty for about 3 weeks and then sore for about 9 weeks in a cast. But it'll be better after the next 3 weeks goes by. So I've pretty much, all my Skype friends and stuff, and they're like, where are you? And I'm like, oh gosh, you don't know. It's just not worth it to be sitting here. So that's why I haven't authorized you yet, but I will. I'll go on tonight right after the show. And interesting.
Okay. I just had a question there for Christy, actually, a couple of them. First of all, I was just wondering, how did you get those really nice harmonies there on the first piece there? Like, did you have a vocal processor there?
No, they were all done individually. I used a dear old Yamaha PSR SQ16 for doing the MIDI tracks. I then bring that into Cool Edit and do all the rest on single tracks.
Mm-hmm. That sure sounded really good. And
the difficulty is, as always, is balancing it up.
Yeah, that's right.
I tear my hair out sometimes trying to get vocal balances right.
I have problems when I'm doing my vocoder work, you know, for the jingles and stuff. I sometimes get to the point where I'm just sort of not really screaming at the computer, but fairly close.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kate, I am one of the few people, and there aren't many of us around, who actually, in a restaurant job for, 8 or 10 years, used a vocoder live.
Hmm. Okay.
I used to do it for Harmony Vocals. I had two microphones on one stand, one feeding the vocoder and one feeding the vocals, you know. And what you could do, the poor old head would be bobbing between the two microphones, but you could... you had the ability to hold the last thing you put into the vocoder, so you could do let's say, and put a whole harmony backing behind yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good fun.
And my other question there for you was, it's regarding across the cafe table. Have you thought about, or are there plans, rather, for maybe doing a podcast of that show?
The only problem with it is it would be quite big.
Okay.
The original, I suppose, yes, we could do it, because they run, well, a minimum of an hour. I suppose there are hour-long podcasts, aren't there? I'm not absolutely au fait with the world of podcasting these days, so I don't know how long they tend to run.
Yeah, I think an hour would be a big podcast.
Yeah, I think it might, too.
Especially if it's in stereo, yeah.
I mean, to my mind, perhaps I'm a purist, but to my mind, I think one does need stereo for that sort of program, where you've got music involved.
Oh, absolutely,
So it would be a pretty large podcast, but however, I am working now, well, sort of as we speak, and vaguely the days round it, to get all the Across the Cafe tables we've done so far up on the on-demand section.
Oh, that would be nice, yeah.
Files are up there. I've just got to find someone who can do PHP website.
and
they would be
I can't
up
help
there,
you
there in two versions, 124K for narrowband and 164K for broadband.
Ah, that sounds good.
So there you go. There'll be hopefully 10 of them, or 11 by the end of this month, if all goes well.
Mm-hmm.
Well...
That sounds great.
We'll look forward to that. And Mr. Kelly, thank you for the call.
You're welcome. And I'll be on Skype later on, so maybe I can get that file to you.
All right.
You can Skype them to me as well, Kelly, sometime.
Okay.
And
I'm on your Skype thing.
Before you leave, go ahead and promote your Northern Lights show.
Oh, please do.
Please.
Okay. Northern Lights. It's ACB Radio Interactive's New Age music show, and it's on every Thursday in GMT time, or Wednesday evening in North America, from 01 to 03 UTC. And you can find more information about the program at my personal website, casetheperja.net. And there's also links to some of the artists that are featured on the show as well. So that's Kido Sierra Alpha Papa Echo Romeo Golf India Alpha .net.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Supergia.
You're welcome.
Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. anyone who has spent any time at all listening to any one of my podcasts will recognize that as the theme to my podcasts. And the reason why that is the theme to all of my podcasts is that it is a song written by Chrissy Cochran, and the name of the song is Marlena. And Chrissy, I got to know you through your fascinating story. I went to your website 192 years ago, and I read your story, your incredible journey, that you chose, that was your personal need to take. And I want to talk about that, but let's bring this call in and then we'll get right into that story. How's that?
That's fine.
Hi there, you're on the radio with Chrissy and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Matthew Dyer from Canton, Ohio. Hello, both of you.
Hello,
hello.
Matthew.
Hello.
Hello.
And what's up with you tonight?
Well, not much, actually. I'm just kind of listening, and I wanted to point out that I don't tune into the cafe as much as I would like to, but when I do listen to it, I'd like to point out that I do enjoy listening to it. It has some pretty good a pretty good mix of stuff up there, and I really do enjoy listening to it. And you guys were talking earlier about doing harmonies on a song that was done at some point. I actually have a friend of mine who does some recordings and stuff. That there's a song he did, "Amazing Grace" a cappella, and it's a four-part harmony. And I was actually quite surprised that when I first heard him do that on a CD that I have, it sounds pretty good. Actually, I was quite surprised, and it just made me bring that up because you guys were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, well, a cappella harmony is great fun, actually. If you've got something like, you know, you're a singer and you've got a computer with something like Cool Edit on it, and you've got loads and loads of tracks to play with, then you can do all sorts of wonderful a cappella harmonies. And I thought of doing something like that sometime soon, actually. Not using keyboards at all, but just purely a cappella harmonies.
Oh, that'd be cool.
As for the cafe, we now have about, 550... to 570 odd songs up there. So, you know, it's a good mix, but I want it better.
Hey, we all want it as good as it can get.
Well, you know, we want more blind musicians to give us their tracks. Because,
that's right.
Because here's a little sales pitch. You can also say if they're for sale. So if you want to sell your tracks, your albums, your CDs or whatever, hey, it's a showcase for you.
Matthew, are your friends who did the a cappella recording, is that friend blind?
He is indeed. And
well, let's get this recording. What's going on?
Actually, Chrissy, this brings up a question. Did you get the file, the MP3 file I sent you a while back? I think it was about a week ago or week or two ago. I don't remember. I know
what
I sent
was it called?
I wasn't sure if you got Family Bible, I believe.
No, I haven't actually. I haven't had that one. Did you send it direct to me, or did you upload it?
I sent it to you as an attachment to the Christie.
Right, now, if it was bigger than 5 megs, it would bounce, because my service provider only allows me maximum of 5 megs. So it might be worth checking the size of the file, but do resend it.
I will do that, and if I have to, I'll just put it in the FTP thing if I need to.
That's absolutely fine. I can pick it up from there.
Either way,
no trouble at all.
I'll check it. And I don't think it was as big as. I mean, it was like maybe 2 or 3 megs, maybe.
Yeah, no, they tend to average about that. But I just always let people know that I can't really accept anything bigger than 5. I wish I could. But they can always be FTP'd to the server.
All right, we'll check on it, Matthew, and she'll get it to her, and she'll get it going, and now, boy, what a link we'll make.
We'll do that.
All right.
All right?
All right.
Thanks, Matthew. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. He's such a sweetie. He's one of my regular callers who calls me almost every week. Is that Matthew in Ohio?
Ah, great.
Yeah, yeah. So you and I got to know each other because when I was doing my blind spot program, I wanted to bring your story forward. You had told your story certainly in many other venues, other than Blind Spot, but I wanted to talk about your incredible journey from the blindness perspective. And your incredible journey is that you are what is known as, and if I get this incorrect, just correct me, but a transgender person. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct indeed.
Now, what is a transgender person?
Well, it is a person who, first of all, you said earlier on that I chose the journey. Believe me, you'll see why in a minute, you don't choose it. It is thrust upon you, rather.
Yes, and as soon as I said that, I thought, no, that's not what I meant
to say.
Now,
that's absolutely fine, because it gives a good opening into the whole thing. I am, or was, originally started off as male. However, it didn't suit the brain. The brain felt differently, totally and utterly differently. The brain felt it was female, therefore so was I. Therefore there was something wrong, and eventually something had to be done about it.
Now what do you mean the brain, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, what do you mean the brain felt it was female?
Me as a person felt female, although the body was male, if you see what I mean. The inner me, the core, the thing that is me, if you like, was determinedly female. It made itself felt in no uncertain terms. Excuse me, I'm here. And eventually, you really, the drive is such that you can't ignore it. You need to do something, because if you don't, something silly may happen, because it gets so fierce, this particular drive, that you are so, what's the word, uncomfortable perhaps, even stronger than that, but you need to do something about it. And so in late 1998, I decided to do something about it and did.
Well, now, someone who, again, playing the devil's advocate or who simply doesn't understand might then say to you, look, wait a minute, I don't understand this. So if you felt that you were more female than male, then, you know, why didn't you just dress up in women's clothes? I mean, we know of men doing that and, you know, have a relationship with a guy and just be done with it. Why'd you go through all this?
Because we come then to the difference between transvestism and transsexualism, which are part of the whole transgender spectrum. And transvestites do tend to do just that. The drive is such, and for various reasons, it can be the love of clothes, it can be a sexual thing, in fact. But they do that, whereas a transsexual person, the drive is such that you need to bring the body into confluence with the mind, effectively. So, if you knew the problems there would be on the way through the journey, you probably wouldn't do it, but the drive is strong enough that you tend to cast these things aside when you start. And that's basically it. And once you go, it's one of the few medical problems, and it is a medical problem, I think, where the biggest thing you have to do is change your outer image. And that becomes interesting, especially from a blind person's point of view, because there's an awful lot in terms of just sheer appearance before we look into other things.
Sure,
appearance,
sure.
And
mannerisms.
Mannerisms, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
As a blind person, you don't know or easily recognize the difference between, say, the male and female mannerisms. I've been very lucky. I was told I always had quite female mannerisms anyway. So I didn't have to do too much in that respect. But you, my partner has been wonderful, and she's been a wonderful role model, and I'm glad I've had her, because she's been able to advise on all many, many aspects, because you want to look and feel as good as you possibly can. And as a blind person, that is not always easy, especially when you're learning things like color coordination and things like makeup. But that's a whole other story.
And your partner remained with you throughout this.
She does indeed. Dear Mary Lou does indeed. Yeah. And
I have to tell our listeners, I've met Mary Lou, and you know, you meet people that you just, you've known them for 5 minutes and you just want to hug them. And Mary Lou is that kind of person. She's a great person.
She keeps saying,
person.
When are you coming back over to see us again?
I know.
So what can we do? We have to obey what she says.
We do, because it's Mary Lou.
Exactly. I do know a couple of other blind transgendered people, and they don't have the role model that I've been very, very, very fortunate in having.
Well,
and it must be terribly difficult. I was also very fortunate in that, in terms of makeup, I was at the Arts Council working, as you do, and someone said, hey, there's a makeup course being run for blind women. I said, I'll have that. I'll go on that. So I did, and actually got taught by a professional how to do it, how to do makeup without using a mirror and things like that. And it's stood me in very good stead, believe me.
Let's step back a few steps prior to makeup. And
back we go.
Back we go to 1998 in the Wayback Machine. And tell us a little bit about, how does this journey begin? Where do you, if someone is listening, for example, and they may know that this is who they are within as well, what do you do? Where do you start?
Well, these days it's marginally easier. The first thing you do is you do a lot of research on the internet. This is what I did. You do a lot of research on the field itself, you do a lot of research on hormones, because you're going to need that. You're going to need that knowledge, because you're dealing with powerful things. You're changing your hormone regime. Then you tell a close friend if you can. I think that is very, very important, that you need someone as a confidant, because it's going to be an emotional roller coaster. Believe me, it is. So having done that, you then, if you've got any sense, you find and go and see a good gender specialist, a good gender psychiatrist usually, and they can start you on the hormone regime, which will change things. Then,
now change things how?
Well, first of all, physically, you start growing breasts, etc., etc. Not quickly or whatever, but there again, that can depend on genetics. That can depend on the person's family genes and what have you. But that sort of physical change. But there are huge emotional changes, some of which are relief that you've actually got moving on the road itself. And some of them are like, how can I put this? Going through puberty on a roller coaster at twice the speed of sound. In other words, it's up 1 minute, down the next, etc. And you really do need someone that you can relate to during all that. So, okay, you do that. Then comes the time when you need to change the image itself, because it's going to come. And that is the scariest thing of all. What I did, firstly, I was working for the Arts Council, and I emailed my supervisor and said, this is the situation, this is what I'd like to do. I am going to change from male to female. And I said, sent this email, and he was absolutely fine about it. He says, but the one thing you must do, he says, is let everyone else know. And I thought, yes, I suppose I should. So I wrote an email telling people basically the steps involved, why, as best I could anyway, and hit the send button and ran out the place. Believe me, I shot out of that building like a scalded cat and had the next day off. And when I came back, virtually everyone in the place had written me an email to say, you know, oh, well done you, et cetera, et cetera. There wasn't any problem. Now, I mention that because people do have problems. It's a difficult thing for a lot of people to come to terms with. And a lot of transgender people have had problems within the workplace and what have you. These days, in the UK anyway, there is legislation and it's much, much easier. But you do need to get the majority of the workers that you're working with on your side.
One of the first pieces of music that I ever heard Chrissy perform, which I think, if I recall, I got from your website, is this. And I just so think it describes some of that feeling and that drive. And I think we're gonna probably play this in its entirety just to make sure that that the folks are really hearing, because in this particular song I think there's a tremendous amount of emotion and frustration. And the song is called Let Me Out of Here, and it's Chrissy Cochran.
You recognize this prison I hold on your life. You listen to the words that she said. You've known her all along because she is there inside your head. You've listened to her tell you how she wants to be free and how she thank you. make it all seem so clear. You love to hear a voice whisper quiet in your ear. You always heard a thought so loud and so clear.
And that to me is one of the most moving pieces that you've written, Chrissy. And I just, I want to talk about the song in a second, but we do have a caller. But, before I bring the caller in, I just, to me, that describes so well what I envision was going on within you, that there was another person within you screaming.
That's basically what I tried to get over, Marlena. It always puts me in a difficult position, in a sense, because it's lovely to get reaction to a song, but when you say to people, did you like that? They say, yes, I cried.
it brings a tear to my eye.
I'm glad in a way, because it means that it's getting through to people.
Well, I'm glad that you let her out of there. Let's bring our caller in. Hi there, you're on the radio with Chrissy and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena, and hi, Chrissy.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Marlena. Hi. Nice to speak to you, Chrissy.
Thank you, and to you.
I have to tell you that, and I do have a question, and I have to say I'm not even sure how to ask it, but first let me tell you that the line about the... when you said, you have the shell of a brain of a beautiful girl and the shell of a man. Well, that's what I burst into tears when I had to stop crying so I could fall.
Yeah.
But it is basically that. That sums it up.
My brother was gay. In fact, he had several difficult relationships, and he eventually committed suicide in 1996.
Oh, dear.
And I do not blame the gayness per se. I don't think he knew how to look for quality relationships. We had a very domineering mother. I mean, a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question to you, and like I say, I'm not even sure how to ask this.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between, and I think you've explained it actually quite well, but being deciding or knowing, and again, one of my gay friends said, well, he knew he was gay because he said the girls liked Robert Redford and so did he.
That's great.
Yes, on a superficial level, that's a good answer.
And I guess, what makes one decide to try and live as a gay person, or even as a transvestite, and then decide to go all the way to transsexual?
Well, if you imagine, let me give you the analogy of a seesaw, if you remember one of those things.
Oh, yes, I do.
And you've got your ordinary personality on one end, and you've got the one inside you on the other. And eventually, the one inside you has to win. Someone has to win. You can't maintain an equal balance. It just it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Chrissy, did we lose you? Oh, there you are. I thought we lost you there for a minute.
Oh, I hope not.
You're back.
Okay. Then you can't maintain the balance. Something has to give. Now, in some cases, it's so much pressure to conform, to be as they are, that I'm afraid they tend, as in the case of your brother, perhaps to commit suicide, I don't know. But that sort of thing can easily happen. Now, you have two courses of action open to you. One, you do that, and the other is you do something about it, and I chose to do something about it.
Okay, what then is the difference? I mean, Dave was asking me this question, and I know that, my sweetheart does not understand this at all. I mean, I have to say, he honestly doesn't, and he tells me he honestly doesn't. I know he's being very sincere.
Right.
And he, and unfortunately, has also had some experiences with sexual abuse. So I suppose it sort of colors your whole thinking.
Of course it does.
But what is the difference between a black person who says, I'd rather be white, and a person of either gender that says, I'd rather be the other gender?
I've never ever been asked that one, but what an extremely good question.
Yeah, I was just thinking, yeah, now what's she going to say there?
I think my answer off the top of my head is because one is racial and the other is, oh, heavens, I don't want to get myself into hot water over this.
No, I didn't mean to do that to you.
Well, maybe, you know, just kind of thinking about that question, one of the very first things that pops up to me is, and again, I don't want to get myself into hot water, but I think that race has so much culture surrounding it, and that while a person who is white could never really be black, and a person who is black could never really be white, in their tone of skin, their skin tone, they could conceivably insert themselves into that culture to a substantial degree.
Yes, I would agree with that. Now, I see where your argument is going, and I would absolutely agree with it. It happens quite often in the music business, where you find white guys that seem more black in outlook.
Well, even Ryan Millsap.
And ability and what have you, than some of the black guys do.
When Ronnie Millsap was on my show a year ago, and he said, you know, that, you know, all of a sudden, back in the 50s, you know, the quote-unquote black stations stopped playing his music, and when they looked into why, it was because they discovered, you know, that he was white. And,
of course, they
then made a joke about it and said, yeah, but Ronnie doesn't know he's white, he's blind, so then they started playing the music again. But
yeah, that's a good one.
But, you know, I think to some degree, you can insert yourself into a culture, but I don't know how you could ever insert yourself into, for want of a better term, into a sexuality. I
think gender and sexuality is so personal, as opposed to cultural. Yes, there's cultural baggage that goes with it. Of course there is. But I think it's so much a part of the thing that is you that if one bit's wrong, you want to try and put it right because it's part of you that needs putting right. It's like a medical problem.
Well, I guess, too, that some of us have to remember that sexual or just does not entirely mean doing the act, if you will.
Right.
More no, of course
than
not.
Just,
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
By the way, before I get myself into trouble, I mean, a black person could have said, I want to be white, and a white person could have said, I want to be black.
Sure.
I mean, I didn't mean
sure.
No,
yeah.
No, of course.
Yeah.
But, no, I appreciate that, and I know Dave is listening in the other room, or is going to be listening later on, if he doesn't hear the whole thing now, but I do appreciate it.
Well, I do appreciate that there are people who do find it incredibly difficult to come to terms with, and, you know, I'm sure there are things in this life that I would find difficult to come to terms with. And so I do appreciate and do understand, believe me.
Well, I thank you. I always say, you're the one person you can't get away from. You're with you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
And, I'm afraid you are, yes. Yes. I keep trying to get rid of myself, but it won't go. Still here.
Hey, listen, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Pam, and thank you for being kind enough to ask the difficult questions. I would never want someone to think, oh, I shouldn't ask that, or I shouldn't,
I definitely debated, should I do this or not? And then I thought of, well, I thought of Tom, and I thought of just
sure.
You know, because God knows his mind. I mean, that's something I will never get over, and I know it, and I just have to kind of, I mean, I have to take deep breaths when I talk about it many times.
Well, my feeling is, I must admit, that there's so little education on the subject that I'm quite happy to talk openly about the whole thing, if only to make it easier for someone else coming along.
Well, that's wonderful. And just one more thing before I go. Someone said to me, and again, this very close gay friend of mine said, when a guy comes up to you, and I would imagine a girl too, says, I want to be gay, or I think I'm gay, a person of integrity will say, think, because it is not going to be easy.
Oh,
and just
yeah,
be
absolutely.
Sure you know what you're doing and who you are before you do that, or do
yep,
any
absolutely.
Before you pursue the lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, in ACB, we do have our special interest affiliate, Blind Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And so, and I've had someone from BFLAG on a couple of occasions, and I'm always very happy to pass that information on to any of our listeners. So, it's
well,
a
good thank
resource.
You so much, both of you.
Well thank you.
You,
and you have a wonderful day, and tell that Mr. Dave I said hey.
I sure will.
All righty.
Take care,
Pam. Bye bye. 866-666-7926. Are you good to go for some more? I only asked you for an hour, but I'm keeping you well up.
No, I'm quite happy.
Okay.
I can go for more if you want.
Good. Well, I do. that's a loaded question, eh? Going back to the song, Let Me Out of Here.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the, oh my goodness, we have another call. We're just going to ask the caller to hang on 1 second. We'll be right with you. I think one of the things that makes that song so moving, at least to me, is if you listen to it carefully, there are two voices in that song. There is the lower voice, and then there is the higher, smaller voice. Was that deliberate?
It was indeed absolutely deliberate, yes.
Well, it certainly is effective. Let's bring our caller in. Hi there, you're on the radio with Chrissy Ann Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's Debbie Hazelton.
Oh, my sweet friend Debbie Hazelton.
Hello to
Hi.
You both.
How
Hello,
are
Chris.
You?
I'm wonderful. And Chrissy, it's nice to meet you. We've never spoken before, but I'm very glad to hear your music and your story. And I want to make a couple of comments.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I know it is hard for a lot of people to understand, and yet, I don't know, I guess I'm just such an out there person. I feel like I do understand, in that I know that I'm not all of any one thing. I mean, there are programs I've seen lately about babies that are born with both genders.
Oh,
hermaphrodites.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of ethics come into play about which way to make this baby be. And some horrific things have happened where doctors have done many, many surgeries to force a child to be a certain gender. And parents and doctors have had lots of fights over this kind of stuff, and babies have been horribly abused, being just, you know, having lots of things done to their to their genitals to make them be one way or another. And I've also seen where there are some young children, I mean very young, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, that know that they are the opposite gender in who they are. So to the question that, you know, Pam was asking, first of all, about if somebody, what's the difference between somebody who wants to be black or white, it's not a want to. It's just like sexual orientation. And this is different than sexual orientation, by the way. This is not on a continuum of gayness or or straight.
Correct.
Which I also think there's not, that is not an either or necessarily. I think far more people are bisexual than they are straight or gay, and often are left out and are a forgotten minority. But and just like visually impaired people that are not that are not blind or sighted, that are in the middle there. But
yeah.
With the person who, you know, knows that they are the opposite gender, it's not wishful thinking. This is who they are inside, in the brain, in the emotions, in the whole self. And when somebody, society or anybody, tries to make them be one or the other, I think what's really beautiful is that we are all both. We really all are both, but we happen to be in different places on a continuum.
I absolutely agree with that.
100%. We become more one way or another.
Mm, no, I agree with that 100%. Just going back to your thing of when you were talking about the babies born with both genital, the difficulty there arises if by not doing something it would endanger the life of the child. Now, my view is that if that's the case, then yes, horrible decisions may have to be made. But other than that, you leave it to the child to determine, because believe me, they will.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think, you know, many times I saw cases where the mothers had strong feelings and the doctors made the decisions without the parents. And I think that's a very, very sad thing.
There are well-documented cases of that, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Both here and in the States.
I'm very glad that you have come out and, you know, been willing to tell your story. What kind of, have you gotten any sort of a different reaction from other people who are blind? I mean, have people who are blind been accepting, more critical? I'm just curious.
Now, that's a fascinating one, actually. The only one who wasn't initially accepting was a blind person.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up with an extremely good reason. They said, well, you haven't done a lot of voice change, therefore I don't notice much difference. Therefore, I still think of you as the person I knew before. Now, whereas other people will see the image, he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was obvious when you sat and thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, but I also know women with deeper voices.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That wasn't the point. The point was that I didn't make a radical change, therefore the tone and everything was similar.
So the one thing by which he used physically to paint his picture of you, or the or the most prevalent thing, hadn't changed. Therefore, you haven't changed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to sound rude, crude, or exploitive here, but I have to say that when I went to visit Chrissy, and I'm probably going to embarrass Chrissy here, but I think people might be wondering this. So, I mean, hey, we're letting it all out tonight, so why not?
Yeah, go ahead.
Two things. When I went to visit Chrissy, and we went to dinner, we had a lovely time, and then she left, and I took the taxi back to my hotel, and the taxi driver said to me, "That's one good-looking woman." And I smiled to myself, and I thought, boy, she'd love to know that. And then I showed Gary my pictures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was one picture that Mary Lou had taken, and Chrissy and I were standing in her magical musical corner there in the living room. And Gary said, "Who's that?" I said, "Oh, it's Chrissy." And he said, "Boy, she really is good looking." So...
Well, you know, we get that though. I mean, haven't you ever been told that you look good for being blind? Gee, it's a shame. You look so pretty.
Well, but the interesting thing is, I mean, you know, one, Gary obviously knew Chrissy's story.
Yeah.
The driver didn't, you know. And
I'm very lucky, Marlena and Debbie, in that I am quite slight and small. So I've got
a small frame.
And I'm sort of average for a woman in height. So, you know, the people I pity are those that are sort of 6'7", built like barn doors, and have the, have the same problem. Now, those I really do pity terribly.
Yeah.
But I've been very, very, very fortunate.
Well, that's good. And, you know, I think that if other people who are blind are critical, I think it's important that they remember what it's like to deal with ignorant sighted folks and the criticism that, you know, we get from the sighted people that don't know or don't understand. And, you know, just to kind of think about that before being too judgmental. And a lot of times, you know, we know that that comes out of ignorance, that comes out of fear and all those kinds of things. But, you know, I just salute you in having courage to come forward and share like that.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Thanks. That means a lot. That sort of thing. When you know you've actually made a bit of a difference and you've enlightened some people on things, because as you say, a lot of it is ignorance. Some of it, I have to say, is society's way that it deals with the religious aspect and things like that. God made man and woman, you can't change, etc.
Oh, yeah.
That gets me, I've got to say, when people, you know.
What do you say to people who say that to you?
What can you say? I mean, we can all pick bits of the Bible out and use them at will. Very easy to do. I could sit here and, you know, probably do that, but I don't know. It's very difficult. I just gently suggest to them that surely isn't religion supposed to be tolerant?
Yeah, yeah.
End of story.
If we are a composite of many aspects, I mean, if we're really on a continuum that is not, I mean, hormonally, we all have male and female in us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if we are a conglomeration on a continuum that some of us just happen to show ourselves of being more female than male, and others happen to show themselves of being more male than female, then, you know, I mean, what you decided to do was to put on more of your female self to be in more harmony with who you are, but I'm sure you still have some male aspects to who you are.
Of course, of course. And I personally think that the way things are going in society, we're going to see more of it. One time society was designed in such a way that men went into the factory, men did the heavy work, men did this, that, and the other, and the women stayed home, the women did this. Now that things are changing a lot socially, in terms of almost social engineering, if you like, I can see many more men and women exploring the other gender just in their own feelings.
Yes. Exactly. Well, I think we'll see more of that gray area on many, many levels. And, you know, and especially, you know, if we think about these babies and, you know, just even if we change their genitals, they're going to, you know, have that experience of of being both. I mean,
they're going to know who they are.
Yeah.
They're going to know who they are, and that's what matters.
Exactly. Yep. So keep writing that good music. I'm going to be tuning in because I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sure that I can send you the stuff I downloaded from Chrissy's website for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes, indeed. I'd love it.
Yeah.
I'm also a podcaster out there, so
I thought of doing and decided against it.
Oh, okay.
Well, Debbie's done some very interesting, but she has a friend who is
a sexologist.
A sexologist,
oh, right.
Yeah. And, yep. You know, when I was listening to Marilyn on your podcast, I was thinking, golly, I wish I could, you know, introduce her to Chrissy. I love for her to talk to Chrissy. And,
Marilyn's worked with lots of transgender folks, and actually we've done some panel kinds of things together with some transgender people, so, you know, it's, it would be great. I'm sure you would love to meet Marilyn, and she would love to meet you, that would be a fabulous kind of thing to do. So
sounds
maybe
interesting.
Maybe somewhere down the line. I'm really wanting to get Marilyn involved in more podcasts and or some radio, so we'll see.
Yeah, and I would like to bring Marilyn on my show and really promote it and have a show discussing sexuality, not just sex, but sexuality and what is it and how does being visually impaired kind of get in the way or help or whatever.
I think that's a huge undiscussed thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I really do. I think that's been steered away from in the blind world.
Yep. Yeah.
Right,
so we've
back
been talking
through
about
education,
it.
Through everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's gets to be, I mean, it's just so left undiscussed. Forgotten. Like we're just supposed to be asexual and we're just children and all that kind of stuff.
All right, Miss Debbie. Well,
okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
You betcha. Good to chat with you both.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk to you too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. It's about 25 minutes into our second hour, give or take, depending on Mr. Internet's time delay. And if you are listening at any time, let's see if I can get them right this hour. If you're listening at any time other than Sunday night in North America, 9 to 10 Eastern, 6 to 7 Pacific, or very early on a UTC Monday morning, 2 to 3 Universal, if you're listening any time other than that, you got a replay. So what we want you to do is sit back, put your feet up, get your favorite beverage, and cozy on in with us. And if you're listening live, we'd love for you to give us a call at 866-666-7926. Have you ever heard of anyone, Chrissy, who has embarked on this journey, of gender, and wanted to go back?
Yes. Yes, it does happen. It doesn't happen often. And it's very sad. And it's a very, very difficult one to deal with, in that what do you do? Do you make the gatekeeping that you go through in terms of psychiatry and what have you so stiff that it precludes some people who are genuine but just aren't forceful personalities, or do you make it so easy that some get through that really shouldn't and that are perhaps doing it for the wrong reasons or regret it, as you rightly say. Now, there are those that have even gone right through the whole surgical side of things and regretted it afterwards. Yes, it does happen, and of course, various people in society pounce on this and say, look, told you, this is what happens, they regret it. And, you know, it does make it more and more difficult for us. But, hey, you know, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, I do as well. So you start out talking with a gender psychiatrist, then you go to the hormone therapy, and then what happens after the hormone therapy?
You go back to the psychiatrist and you say, right, I'm interested in having the surgical side of it done, and they assess whether you are fit for that. If you are, then you go ahead and try and find a good surgeon that can do the thing. In this country, I wasn't happy with what I heard. Not as good as some others. So I, in fact, went to Belgium to a darling little man called Dr. Michel Sakers, who was one of these little wiry, bouncy people with a wonderful bedside manner and absolute brilliant at his job, and had the necessary done there. And the necessary We can go into that if you like. If anyone has any questions on that, I'm more than willing to take them. So, we've got a bit of time yet.
Yeah, and I'm certainly comfortable with you sharing to whatever level you're most comfortable sharing.
Yeah.
And I think that people may not be comfortable asking questions. So, you know, I'm just sort of going to leave this up to you as to how far you want to proceed with describing what is the necessary.
Well, it is far easier to do male to female surgery than female to male. It really is. In terms of creating what is necessary, it is far easier to reconstruct than effectively totally build, which they have to do in female to male. A lot of people going that route don't go for surgery. But anyway, I had it done in Belgium. What was amazing was the sheer feeling of relief afterwards. And I'd been told that this would happen. I didn't believe it. But believe me, just the sheer fact that things were as complete as they could be. They can't be totally complete, that's obvious. I mean, we can't have a womb for one thing. But, you know, it is as complete as it can be. And that feeling of, that's the end of that part of the journey. The journey never ends as such. You're always learning all the time. But that was the end of that particular part of it.
Now, as a blind person, what did you find perhaps the most surprising thing that you needed to learn, whether it was mannerisms, you touched on the makeup, or, you know, but just as someone who was blind, you know, you lived a good deal of your life and was as a man, and obviously, you know, you dressed that way, you dressed as a man, you acted, you know, as a man, quote unquote, whatever a man acts like. But what was the most surprising thing to you that you think that your blindness had some impact on?
Positive impact, funnily enough, because when you start off this journey and you have just made the transition appearance-wise, take it from one who's done it, it ain't good. You don't know, you haven't learned, and it can be a little disastrous. Now, you're going to get people staring. You're going to get people pointing. And if you can't see them, it makes it a lot easier to bumble through life with a certain amount of, be it overconfidence, but it's necessary because you need to carry on. You need to plow on through the journey, if you see what I mean, and overcome that bit. And it's going to happen because you're not versed in the art of the opposite sex. You really aren't. You're going to have to learn. And while you're learning, you're still going to have to be out there. So it was the one time, and I've always maintained this, when being blind was an absolute positive advantage.
Since you couldn't see them pointing and staring, so they weren't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you didn't know who was.
Interesting.
You assumed that some might be, but, you know, I mean, what else can you do? You can't hide away until you've got it right, because you don't learn that way.
How do you deal with people who may be really trying to recognize that you have made this journey, that you are now living as a female person, but they knew you as a male person and you're still him? And the interesting thing about knowing you, Chrissy, is I don't even know what your other name was, which is kind of, I think that's very funny. But whatever it was, you know, Frank, you know, and they just can't, they try or they giggle, or how do you deal with that?
It's my poor adopted mum is a prime example, and you have to let it go. Because they've known you from the word go. But on the other hand, there's the other side of it, and I will tell you a little anecdote that happened to me coming out of the London Underground station at dear old Putney one day, there was a Big Issue. Now, Big Issue is a magazine that they sell here. The homeless sell it. It's for charity and what have you. And there was a Big Issue salesman outside the Underground station. And he'd obviously seen me around a lot. And he came up and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said in a loud voice, "I used to know this one when it was a man." I said, "And I used to know this one when it had half a brain and wasn't selling the Big Issue." To which I got a round of applause. But you don't normally think of things like that. Quick wit. I mean, I just wanted to curl up after that, of course. But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Fortunately, my wit didn't desert me that one time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Normally, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, I have known of other people who have said to me, actually, since our interview back on Blindspot, because, you know, every once in a while I get email about it. It's in the on-demand section, and, you know, I get an email,
yeah, yeah.
And people will say, you know, it isn't that I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm just embarrassed. I knew this person when, you know, she was Frank.
Well, this is where I come back to my friend Jeff, who was blind, who couldn't come to terms with it, because effectively to him nothing had changed.
Hmm.
It's an interesting one,
yeah,
though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You
it
know,
is.
It's the one condition, as I say, where the whole image changes. Now, if you think you've got other conditions, it's really not quite as image all pervasive as this is.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly is image all pervasive. I think that it is a difficult thing, you know, for people to sometimes come to terms with, and yet, in my opinion, people don't have a choice. They just need to come to terms with it because it is who you are, you know, and it's kind of interesting to me, although I can understand why your friend who's blind would make that observation, and hopefully has gotten past all of that.
Oh, yes,
now,
certainly,
but
has.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, you know, it's kind of interesting because we as blind people are saying, you know, take us, you know, for who we are, and you know, treat us the way you would treat anyone else. So it's just interesting to me that he would, you know, have that reaction, although it's understandable.
There's an interesting one there. I get more reaction to the blindness rather than the transgender side of it.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I found that quite interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
But I think, or I suppose, as one goes on and one gets more and more adept at living the way you're wanting to live, then less and less emphasis is on that, so more and more emphasis is on the blindness.
Yeah, and as new people come into your life circle, I mean, they don't even know. Unless
well,
you
the
tell them.
Well, prime example, there's only one person there now that was there when I transitioned.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are some 70-odd people there.
Yeah, so unless that one person says to everyone who goes, "Oh, did you? I knew Chrissy when she was Frank," you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, what difference does it make? Tell me about your mom. How did your mom, I know that your mom adopted you and,
oh my God, that
and that in itself is a very special, you know, kind of thing. How did your mom handle this?
Well, strictly speaking, it should never have happened. She was a young woman of, I believe, 19, and she used to babysit for a family who had a brother and sister, and the brother wound up in hospital. And unfortunately for all, I was in the next bed because I had been abandoned, as they say, and they just dumped me in an hospital. I was, what, 14 months at the time, so I am told. I don't really remember it, funnily enough. But anyway, and this 19-year-old person came in ostensibly to look and see and visit Barry, saw me, liked, or fell in love with me as a child, I suppose, and looking for a home for me, and she fostered me. Now, the interesting thing there was her mother obviously had to give permission. Well, not obviously, but did. But the interesting thing is that the New Zealand authorities allowed it to happen. There was no problem. And that's how I came to meet her at the ripe old age of 14 months.
That's interesting. And you've written a song about that and about your mum.
I have.
And I want to play a little of it.
Then do, by all means.
I think it's a great song. It's called
Thank
You Gave Life to Me.
gift that you gave from the heart. You gave life to me. You gave my life such a good start. You gave life to me. A gift that you gave from
what a fabulous gift to give to your mom. That's a great song. Thank you for writing that.
Yes, the poor thing burst into tears when she heard it. Again, I thought, what a reaction.
Well, your music does reach out to certain places in certain hearts. And, you know, if my mom were alive, I would actually play that for her.
Well, that's what, to me, the essence of music is about, Marlene, is to reach out both in an intangible way in terms of the groove and what have you.
Now my VOIP, my VOIP is making you break up. I think.
Oh dear.
Oh, there, now you're back.
I'm back again. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I think music is a wonderful tool with which to communicate, through which to reach out, and by which I think to learn and grow and share. So,
well, I think you're right, and I'm so delighted to see the rise. I segued into this a bit, but anyway, the rise of the independent music sector.
Ah, yes. Well, and I'm segueing back to the cafe, because this all links.
It does indeed.
It truly does, and it's by happenstance that we're sort of full circle here as we come to the end of the program. But, you know, I think that you have such a passion for music, to create music and to promote others' music, that is what is showing up in our ACB Radio Cafe now.
Well, part of that, Marlene, is having worked at the Arts Council and seen how art gets subdued by bureaucracy. I don't want that to happen with the cafe. I want it to be arts driven. And by that, as I said near the beginning, as I want that to be not just music. You know, if someone comes up with a good short story or poem or a comic turn or whatever that is audible, it's an audio format, then, hey, I'm interested in it. I'd love to expand what we're doing. Also to get more people to come on across the cafe table, please.
Yeah,
it's
you know,
really not that painful.
You know, you remind me back in at the ACB convention last July, in Las Vegas, I had the opportunity to briefly meet Alex Valdez, who is a blind comedian. And, I mean, Alex, oh my gosh, he's hysterical. And he, in fact, invited me to his show. But as everybody knows that I've said 1,022 times, I was very ill at that convention because of asthma and all the cigarette smoke. And so I couldn't take him up on attending his show. But I would love for you to have some of Alex Valdez material. So if anybody, you Californians who are listening who know Alex, maybe you could reach out to him and get him in touch with me, or get him in touch better even with Chrissy. And let's get his stuff up there, you know?
It sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't got enough comedy.
Yeah. And my VOIP is breaking up again. Oh, I'm not going to pay my bill. There you are. You're back.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, I think it's just my little VOIP. You know, it's so internet dependent, you know.
Well, I turned all my machines off before we started this program. How about that?
Well, I know we're still airing, so that.
Well, I no, I.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me. And we've been talking about doing this for a long time. And hey, before you leave, we've got a few more minutes. We can get a little less formal here. Didn't you have an invitation to participate in something or another with Her Majesty?
I went to the Royal Garden Party. Yes,
oh, darling.
In the summer. And it was one of those occasions where you had to wear a hat. Now, I always thought hats never got on. But, hey, we found one. It was good. But it was... I can't say it was a waste of time. It was a fascinating experience, and the sandwiches and teas were very nice. But in terms of seeing the Queen, it was a bun fight. You have 250, 300 people there, and the Queen is in an enclosed area. She comes round the side, the fence, if you like, and she talks to the odd people. And a number of people that were pushing themselves to the front, I want to see the Queen, I want to see the Queen. It was amazing. You know, it was sort of claws out almost. It was absolutely incredible. We just stood back and let them get on with it.
Somehow you just don't picture that happening
at
Buckingham Palace.
But it was, believe me, it was. It was like a bun fight in
that's
that.
Very funny. Well, at least you got the invite.
Oh, I've got it. With the royal seal and everything.
Oh, my.
Oh, we will frame it.
Oh, my. See, I know someone who almost touched the Queen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight. And I just love having you as my friend, but I also... so much appreciate that you are always willing to talk about your journey and talk about your story. And could you give your email address again in the event that someone would like to talk with you further?
Yes, of course. They can either put it through ACB Radio, and it comes directly to me, Chrissy, C-H-R-I-S-S-I-E, at acbradio.org, or if you've got some music for the cafe and want to send it direct to me, you can reach me at Chrissy, again, C-H-R-I-S-S-I-E, at rose.demon.co.uk.
And that .co is .co, just like our com, but C-O-M without an M.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Com without an M.
And UK.
And UK. Yeah.
Yeah, and that'll reach me.
Well, I know that that this program will be heard on the archives. The original one we did, I'd still every now and then get a comment about it. So I'm sure
that's
amazing. I'm sure.
I don't know where this last 2 hours have gone, but they've certainly flown by.
I know. It's amazing. And but I think that you being so willing to be so open, it's just been a compelling time.
Well, let me put it this way. If I can't not be open, if I expect people to be open with me, if they're critical, if they don't understand, well, you can't blame them for not understanding. If you're not open and they can't, you know, and they don't get a chance to know these things, then how on earth can they understand?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my view.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Debbie Hazelton put it beautifully as well. You know, we are all...
Oh, there is a continuum. There's no doubt about that.
Definitely.
I'm pretty sure of that.
Most definitely. All right.
And whoever's out there hasn't got time to argue with us now.
That's right. That's right. You can't argue with us now because we're going to wrap it up.
Yay.
So there. And besides, it's my show.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. And I will talk to you very soon.
Very well.
All right.
Well, thank you indeed for having me on the show.
All right. We'll do it again soon. And let's get that music in that cafe. Send it all to Chrissy and she'll get it up there. And you never know who could
Please
be listening.
Do.
All right. Thanks, Chrissy.
Thanks, Malena.
Go to bed now.
I'm off.
All right. Bye-bye.
Night-night.
Fascinating story, fascinating interview, fabulous, wonderful person, and very dear friend. That's Chrissy Cochran from the United Kingdom. Apologies for my VOIP sort of flaking out, VOIP voice over internet protocol. It just, you know, it's got a little mind of its own, and it does what it's going to do when it's going to do it, and nobody can say anything about it, or if they do, they can't fix it. So there you go. We're going to not be here next week. How do you like that for a sentence? We're going to not be here next week. Let me try to rephrase that. We shan't be having a program that will be live next week. There, how do you like that one? I'll be having my hand surgery on Wednesday, and it's going to be at least a couple of weeks before life gets to be normal. I am going very much to try to have a program, however, on the week of February 27th, which would be Sunday the 26th in North America and the 27th in UTC land. So the week of February 27th, I am very much going to try to have a program. I already have the guest scheduled, and it's going to be Burl Colley. And Burl, of course, if you've been listening to my program for any length of time, this is Burl's third appearance. I can't believe that Marlena has been going this long. It amazes me. But Burl is coming on, I believe, for the third time to talk about the upcoming tours at the ACB National Convention. Now, of course, we want you to come for the convention, but there's also some very cool tours that Burl is putting together, Burl and his committee. I happen to know what some of them are, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to have you wait until Burl joins us. And so that'll be the time when you can ask him all the questions about, you know, is this tour a good tour to bring a guide dog on, or, you know, whatever you may want to know from Burl. He'll have all the touring answers on the February 27th show. Then in March, I'm hoping to, in addition to the regular guests that we may bring on from time to time, I'm hoping also to highlight some of the ACB convention program for 2006. So if you are president of any one of our special interest affiliates, or if you are on one of our national committees and you would like to come on and talk about what your affiliate is going to contribute to the convention this summer, or your committee will be meeting about and discussing this summer, I want to hear from you. And we always start that runaround, sort of sprinkling it in, starting in about March and going through April and May. So that's kind of what's coming up on Marlena. And we are just about kind of through for the day here. And I very much appreciate that you came by, that you listened. Those of you who called, that you called. And I will see you in a couple of weeks with Burl Colley, who'll be my guest. Next week, I'm sure that Jeff Shang, who is kind of handling the automated things around all of the magic that puts all this stuff on the air, I'm sure that Jeff Shang will find an appropriate Marlena program to play, and we'll try to be with you live the following week. So until then, you guys take care, and just as we had a new intro, here's a new going away song. Thanks a lot. Have a good 2 weeks. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio Mainstream, and we'll be back next week, same time, same place. The music you're hearing right now is done by Andre Lewis and AndreLewis.com, and it's called For a Reason. For a Reason, I know we'll all be together next week, and so I'll look forward to seeing you then. I want to thank all of my teammates at ACB Radio who make this program possible. Chrissy Cochran, Dave Williams, Jeff Shang, everyone. Thank you so much. And of course, thanks to Gary the Board Guy. We'll talk to you next week. And if you want to get a hold of me, drop me a note to Marlena. That's Marlaina at acbradio.org. See you next week.